What I'm going to do today is a track that I have prepared in witnessing. Okay, and actually it's about 2 pages, and maybe we can make it into a track, and maybe we can use this track to give it to people. And also, in the same way, we need to know what's in the track. All right, if it's useless giving somebody if you don't know what you are trying to tell that person. So we need to know what's in it, and it's so important. So when people ask questions, or there are sometimes we cannot tell people, you know, they are in a hurry or whatever like that, we can give a track. But there are times where the Lord provides us a lot of time to talk to somebody. In that sense, we should be able to talk to that person. Okay, see, depending on the situation. Now, in my experience, and I know many of us have gone door to door in witnessing. If you remember, one other obstacles, what people say is, or one of the things if you talk to anybody, is usually people think that they are good people. Alright? So the topic that I will give today is, do good people go to heaven? Do good people go to heaven? And the text that I would, you know, I use this one, if you, in Psalm 130 verse 3 says, if you, O Lord, kept a record of our sins, O Lord, who could stand? If God Almighty is going to keep a record of our sins, okay, then who is going to stand before Him? So, hundreds of years ago, a minister who was preaching in a country village in England asked a farmer who was listening to him, and this is the question he asked the farmer. This was about hundreds of years ago. He asked the farmer, do you think that Jesus Christ died to save good people or bad people? The farmer replied, well, sir, I should say he died to save good people. Then the minister asked the farmer, but did he die to save bad people? And the farmer replied, saying, no, sir, certainly not, sir, said the farmer. Then the minister asked the farmer, well then, what will become of you and me? And the farmer replied, well, sir, I do not know. I'm sure you are very good, sir, and I try to be good as I can. Now, if you think about it, that common thought of religion that was hundreds of years ago, and if you ask the same question today, the majority of the people will give the same answer. Okay? I'm trying to be good as I can. Ask the answer, you will get. It is understood that good people go to heaven and bad people go to hell. Even if you ask a little child, the child will reply, good people will go to heaven and bad people will go to hell. That's the concept of religion, that's the concept of man. They have. That's the understanding they have. Now, there's nowhere in the Bible that says that Jesus Christ came to save good people. But on the other hand, the Bible says that Christ died for the ungodly. Romans 5:6. These are things that you should know by memory. If you're going to witness to somebody, okay? You're not going to open your Bible and say, you know, there is a scripture somewhere, but I don't know where it is. I can't find it. Okay? These are things that you should know exactly where to find it. The Bible says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. So, Jesus came to save sinners. Sinners are lost in fellowship with God. Now you may say, if I talk to somebody, on the street, they might say, somebody in the house, they might say, I'm not a drug addict, nor a thief, nor a murderer, but I'm upright, honest, moral, and a loving person. You hear me? So we need to know how to answer those. So remember that during the time of Jesus, the murderers, the prostitutes, the thieves, and the tax collectors, who were sinners that came to him, receiving forgiveness. But the upright, the moral, people who never realize they sin against God, have no time, no need to ask forgiveness and to ask mercy from God. Only sinners will ask mercy from God. So we need to understand what is sin and what is sin. Sin is breaking the law of God. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. Now, if you take the Ten Commandments, that's where we need to go. All right. If you take the Ten Commandments, have you broken any of them? I'm talking to a person who is, when I go and speak to that person in the house, who will say, I'm a good person. So have you broken any of the Ten Commandments? And you may say, the answer we may get is, I may have sinned a little bit here and there, but I'm not that bad. Maybe you should go and talk to those alcoholics over there, not me, because I'm not that bad. So let us see in the light of God's law where you stand. And we need to give some questions. Can you please answer these questions honestly? We ask these questions from the law of God. Have you ever lied? Have you ever lied in your life? Yes. How many lies do you have to say, you had to tell to become a liar? One. Just one. Then I say, so you're a liar. Have you ever stolen something in your life? Even something small? Yes. How many times you had to steal to become a thief? Just once. Now you're a thief. Have you ever committed adultery? And you may say, no, of course not. But Jesus said, but I say unto you that whosoever look on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Matthew 5:28. So have you ever lusted after someone in your heart? Of course, now you are an adulterer. So you may be honorable among other fellow men, but God looks at your heart. God looks at your motives. Now in God's standard, you are a liar, a thief, and an adulterer. Have you ever set up an idol or a statue? It could be an image or a saint or a Hollywood star, a pop singer, a sports star, or your wealth, your car, your home, any material things, or anything having love and devotion more than the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, now you're an idolater. Have you ever cursed the name of God, or mocked at God, or blasphemed God, or murmured against God? Use God's name in idle conversation or taken the name of God in vain? You might say yes. Then you are guilty and accountable to the holy majestic God in breaking the third commandment. Now, my friend, what is the conclusion? The Bible says there's no one good, not even one. So from God's standard, all have sinned. There is none righteous, not one. Romans 3:10. There is none that does good, not one. Romans 3:11. No flesh is justified in God's sight, or by the law comes the knowledge of sin. Romans 3:20. The Bible says that the whole world stands guilty before God. Romans 3:19. So if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we say we have no sin, we make God a liar. 1 John 1:10. So God's commandment, what did God's commandment do? It exposed your heart. Okay? Expose your heart that and showed you that you're a sinner. All these years you have been blinded by the enemy, Satan, and showed that you did not have any shame or guilt before God. Because Jeremiah 17:9 says what? The heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. So you have heard that God is loving. You hear that all the time. But also, God will not compromise with sin. The Lord will not leave the guilty go unpunished. Nahum 1:3. If the judge in your town or city allows the lawbreakers to go free while telling the community, I am a loving and a good judge. That's why I am allowing the lawbreakers to go free. Then is he really a good judge? Is he a just judge? Of course not. No, a good judge will punish the sinners. A good judge will punish the lawbreakers. God is the judge of the universe. And he will punish the sinners. God is a righteous judge. He expresses his wrath every day. Psalm 7:11. Let us not forget how the justice of God was displayed during the flood, during Noah's time. Except for Noah and his family, God drowned every single human being. And how God rained fire and brimstone out from heaven on Sodom and Gomorrah. That is God's justice. God is loving. At the same time, God will punish sin. And how God opened the mouth to swallow the lawbreakers in the wilderness. And how the Lord buried Nineveh. And how God slew Ananias and Sapphira. God is loving. At the same time, God will punish sin. God is just and sin must be punished. Good people who say they never sin against God will never ask for mercy. You don't have to ask mercy. They are good anyway. Only sinners will ask for mercy. Remember the tax collector and the Pharisee who went to pray? The tax collector was talking how good person he was. What a righteous person he was. On the other hand, not the tax collector I'm talking. The Pharisee was saying, I'm trying to test you guys whether you're listening or not. Okay? So the Pharisee who said how righteous he was. So the Pharisee who said how good he was. And he didn't ask for mercy. Who asked for mercy? The tax collector, the sinner. So in the same way, good people who say they never sin, they will not ask mercy from God. They will never ask grace from God. They have no shame or guilt before God. Hell is built for such good people as they are. You shall have no place in heaven for good people. There is no place for good people. And the place that is prepared for good people who doesn't ask for mercy, no forgiveness, no grace is hell. The blessed place of heaven is for sinners who are saved by God's grace alone. And the lake of fire is for people who say they are good and never ask pardon from God for their sins. Never ask mercy from God because they are not justified by God. You don't need justification. Hell is not a joke, but it's a real place. It's time to repent. Is not tomorrow, but now, because you never know what time you will die. Hell is a place where their worm died not, and the fire is not quenched. Mark chapter 9, verse 44. if you trusted in a man to save you from sin, or a priest, or a pastor, or a minister, or even trusting in your church, but not in Jesus Christ, then you are lost in sin. God is angry with the sinners daily. The mind of the sinner is hostile to God and will not submit to God's law. So if you have been relying upon any rite or ceremony or sacrament relating to water or bread and wine or priestly performance or any posture or ritual or anything apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, and I cry out to you to abandon all those soul-destroying delusions, as they will take you to hell, but believe and trust in the Lord Christ alone. He is the only mediator between God and man. Where does it say? 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 5. For there is one God. There is one mediator between God and man. The man, Christ Jesus. Jesus is the only way that you can be saved from the punishment of God. Acts chapter 4:12 says, there is salvation, and there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men that which we must be saved. So realize you have sinned against God, and you cannot go to heaven in your own works, or your own merit, or your own account, but on the account of Jesus Christ alone. If you believe and trust in Him alone, and He died for you, then He died for your sins. If you took the punishment on your account, He came to wash the filthy sins. He will take your guilty away. He will take your guilt away and cast your sins in the depths of the sea, and make you a new creature, a new man. You can be joyful now, excited, as you're on your way to heaven. Why worry on earth when you're thinking of a real home, heaven? Eternal life is paid by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, some people who know the Word of God, and they have been in the church for a long time, but they don't do anything about it. So if you, and they might read the tract too. And if you're a member of a church or a Christian for many years, and you know the Word of God, but have never brought a single convert, never cared for the souls that are perishing and going to hell, you had no feelings for them, and never witnessed to your neighbors, you should be ashamed of yourself. Wake up from your sleep. There is a warfare going on for the souls. May God bring a sacred fire upon you to go out and witness and evangelize for His glory. Matthew 28:19-20 says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Amen. Let's pray.